Bobby could see the Asher Empire's marquee jutting out over the sidewalk 3 or 4 blocks beyond Puritan Square, and suddenly he could hear the sound of Sully John's bolo bouncer, whap, whap, whap. "If she's trash," SJ had said, "I'd love to be the trash man." The poster they'd seen that day filled Bobby's mind. Brigitte Bardot, the French sex kitten, was what the papers called her, dressed only in a towel and a smile. She looked a little like the woman getting out of the car in one of the calendars back at the corner pocket, the one with most of her skirt in her lap and her garters showing. Brigitte Bardot was prettier, though. And she was real. She was too old for the likes of Bobby Garfield, of course. "I'm so young and you're so old," Paul Anka singing from 1,000 transistor radios. "This, my darling, I've been told," but she was still beautiful. And a cat could look at a queen. His mother always said that, too. A cat could look at a queen. Bobby saw her more and more clearly as he settled back against the seat, his eyes taking on that drifty, far-off look Ted's eyes got when he had one of his blankouts. Bobby saw her shower-damp puff of blonde hair, the slope of her breasts into the towel, her long thighs, her painted toenails standing over the words, "Adults only must have driver's license or birth certificate." He could smell her soap, something light and flowery. He could smell Nuit en Paris, her perfume, and he could hear her radio in the next room. It was Freddie Cannon, that bebop summertime avatar of Savin Rock. "She's dancing to the drag, the cha-cha ragamop. She's stomping to the shag, rocks the bunny hop." He was aware, faintly, far away, in another world, farther up along the swirls of the spinning top, that the cab in which they were riding had come to a stop right next to the William Penn Grill, right next to that purple bruise of a DeSoto. Bobby could almost hear the car in his head. If it had had a voice, it would have screamed, "Shoot me, I'm too purple, shoot me, I'm too purple," and not far beyond it, he could sense them. They were in the restaurant, having an early steak. Both of them ate it the same way, bloody rare. Before they left, they might put up a lost pet poster in the telephone lounge or a hand-printed car for sale by owner card upside down, of course. They were in there. Low men in yellow coats and white shoes drinking martinis between bites of nearly raw steer. And if they turned their minds out this way, steam was drifting out of the shower. Bibi raised herself on her bare painted toes and opened her towel, turning it into brief wings before letting it fall. And Bobby saw it wasn't Brigitte Bardot at all. It was Carol Gerber. "You'd have to be brave to let people look at you with nothing on but a towel," she had said, and now she had let even the towel fall away. He was seeing her as she would look 8 or 10 years from now. Bobby looked at her, helpless to look away, helpless in love, lost in the smells of her soap and her perfume, the sound of her radio. Freddie Cannon had given way to the platters. "Heavenly shades of night are falling," the sight of her small painted toenails. His heart spun as a top did, with its lines rising and disappearing into other worlds than this. The taxi began creeping forward. The four-door purple horror parked next to the restaurant, parked in a loading zone, Bobby saw, but what did they care? Began to slide to the rear. The cab jolted to a stop again, and the driver cursed mildly as a trolley rushed clang-a-lang through Puritan Square. The low DeSoto was behind them now, but reflections from its chrome filled the cab with erratic, dancing minnows of light. And suddenly Bobby felt a savage itching attack the backs of his eyeballs. This was followed by a fall of twisting black threads across his field of vision. He was able to hold on to Carol, but he now seemed to be looking at her through a field of interference. "They sense us, or they sense something. Please, God, get us out of here. Please get us out!"
This ends Disc 5.